Chapter 10. Lexi's cell phone chirped as she left the Elms pub, but it wasn't Ida or Nan's with the results of their financial search like she'd hoped. It was a text from her mother. Lexi opened it to see a cockeyed picture of a large sandy area. The desert of Maine? Lexi's heart pinched as she wondered if the reason her parents were still there was because they were having fun or because their RV broke and they couldn't go anywhere else. Judging by the picture, it didn't look like there was enough of anything to keep their interest for more than one day. The best thing she could do to help them was to solve the case, so she let her thoughts turn toward what she'd learned from Sam. Both Sam and Tom had said the basement renovator, Bobby Nessbaum, would have been the one to do the wall treatment. But if Nessbaum had made a secret room and hidden a body in the basement, wouldn't Tom have noticed? Maybe the two of them were in on it together. Or maybe Tom also knew how to put that cement on the walls and did it as a quick patch to hide the body. Maybe his plan all along was to frame Bobby if anyone discovered it. By the time Lexi arrived at the bakery, her mind was whirling. She decided to focus on baking and filling the bakery cases. The day's rush of customers had made a big dent in the baked goods on display, and she was happy to fill in the empty spaces with fresh baked cookies, brownies, and muffins. She was bent over at the waist, her head inside the case, rearranging a plate of brownies, when a familiar pair of blue jean-clad legs appeared on the other side of the glass front. Jack? What was he doing here? Lexi's stomach fluttered. Jack didn't usually visit her at the bakery unless it was something important. She pulled her head out of the case and stood, looking up at him from her 5'4" high-heeled height.
Hi.
Jack smiled. What's wrong?
Nothing. Ida called and said to meet here and go over the clues. I just closed a case, so I got off early today.
Oh, Ida had called? Lexi pulled her phone out of the pocket of her apron and noticed she had a message from Ida. Jack leaned against the case.
So, how did your meeting at the pub go?
Not that good. I'll fill you in when the others are here. As if on cue, the door opened, revealing Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen. They made a beeline for the pastry case. Hi there. The ladies murmured greetings and then got busy picking out pastries. Ruth chose a lemon tartlet, Helen a brownie piled high with chocolate frosting, Nans a fig square, and Ida a frosted chocolate cupcake top. Lexi noticed with dismay that none of them chose a meringue cookie. They pulled two tables together and arranged the chairs around them. Then, with pastries on napkins and steaming mugs of coffee and tea in front of them, they turned their attention to Nans.
What?
Nans blinked.
Well, aren't you going to start off?
Ida asked. Nans broke off a piece of her fig square and paused with it in front of her mouth.
I don't know anything new, actually. Lexi and I went to the McDonald's, and they don't remember what their basement looked like, so we couldn't say if Tom O'Keefe was telling the truth or not.
What about his finances?
Jack asked.
He did get some large sums of money that summer, but it turns out that wasn't unusual, Helen said. We figure, being a builder and all, he was probably transferring large sums between business and personal accounts all the time, Ruth added. He could have hidden the payoff and made it look like business.
Ida's blue eyes sparkled at them over the rim of her teacup. Jack narrowed his eyes at Helen and Ruth.
And just how do you ladies get this personal financial information? That stuff's not available to the general public.
Ruth's face turned pink, and she waved her hand.
Oh, we have our ways.
Jack turned to Lexi.
What about your visit to the bar?
Sam didn't remember a lot. I mean, it was a long time ago. But he did remember Tom buying a couple of rounds for the entire bar one night. No one had ever done that before, so it was memorable. Did Tom say why? Ida asked. Sam said Tom had gotten a big contract to build some houses.
And when was this?
Helen wiped chocolate frosting from her lips, then took another bite of the brownie. That's the thing. Sam didn't know. All he could remember was that it was in summer because everyone was wearing t-shirts. Jack looked skeptical.
You wouldn't think he'd want to advertise coming into a lot of money if he got a payoff to hide a body, though.
Sam also said the same thing Tom did about the basement walls. Tom O'Keefe didn't finish them like that. He left the basement's raw cinder block.
So, maybe Tom was telling the truth, Nance ventured. I'm sure Tom O'Keefe knows how to apply that cement coating to the walls. He's in the trade, so he probably knows how to do a lot of things.
Ida leaned forward.
He might even have done it on purpose to implicate Bobby Nussbaum if he was discovered.
That's what I was thinking, Lexi said. Ida held her cup up, and the two of them clinked rims.
I'm sure it must have happened before the house was sold, so it must have been the builder, Ruth said. No matter what, we should check out this basement refinisher guy.
Ida turned to Nance.
Mona, did you say he was dead?
Nance looked up from the fig square she'd been pushing around her plate.
I think...
Just then, the door burst open and Watson Davies strode in, her blue eyes glaring at them. Her black biker boots clomped on the floor as she took two large strides over to the table.
Good news, Jack.
She stood with her feet apart, hands on hips, head tilted to the side looking down at Jack. Lexi thought her expression didn't look like that of one poised to impart good news.
Oh? Jack looked up at her, his left brow ticking upwards a fraction of an inch.
Yep, you're cleared off the suspect list. The ME pinpointed the time of death, and it was quite some time before you bought the house.
Ida's brows shot up.
When was it?
August 13th, 1955.
What? That's almost 5 years after the McDonald's moved in.
Ruth stared at Davies, then looked around the table at the rest of them.
Wait a minute. They can pinpoint it down to the day?
Nance asked.
Yes. And not only that, but we also know who the mummy was,
Davies replied.
Who?
Jack, Lexi, Ruth, Ida, and Helen all asked at once.
Earl Shute.
Never heard of him. Ida said. You know him, Mona?
Nance pressed her lips together.
Shute. It sounds vaguely familiar.
It should.
Davies tilted her head toward Nance.
Back in 1955, Earl Shute lived in the house right next door to you.
Silence descended on the bakery as they all stared at a red-faced Nance.
Oh, well, now that you mention it, I guess I do remember him,
Nance said sheepishly.
He didn't live there long, though, so I guess I didn't recognize the name right off.
No, he didn't live there long, Davies agreed, because he was murdered. And it makes me wonder why no one in the neighborhood ever reported him missing.
Nan shrugged.
He kept to himself. We didn't see him a lot, so I guess no one noticed. I guess we just thought he moved away.
So, what about my house? Can we go back in?
Jack asked.
Not yet. We're still collecting evidence.
Lexi wilted as Davies speared her with a steely glare.
A task that would be easier if your dog hadn't run in and contaminated the crime scene.
Lexi grimaced. Sorry. Images of the receipt from the Elms pub sprang to mind. Maybe Sprinkles had gotten the receipt from the mummy. Should she tell Davies? Lexi glanced at the stern detective and figured she was better off not mentioning it unless she was positive it was a clue.
So anyway, tell me about these MacDonald characters,
Davies was saying.
Surely you don't suspect them,
Nan sounded outraged.
Of course I do. We found a dead body in their basement.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't them, Nan sputtered. I mean, they're the nicest people, right, Lexi?
They do seem very nice, Lexi replied.
Right. That's what a lot of people say about killers.
Davies produced a notepad from her back pocket and a pen from her front. Poising the pen over the pad, she asked,
Do you know where I can find them?
Lexi rattled off the address. But I've already talked to them, and they don't know a thing about it.
Playing detective again?
Davies asked, then turned to Nan's.
What about you, Mona?
I'm not playing detective, Nan's bristled. Got too much else going on.
Well, no matter. I'll have a little chat with them myself. I'm going to get to the bottom of this and find out what exactly went on in that neighborhood in the summer of 1955.
Davies cast a suspicious glance at Nan's, pivoted on her booted heel, and left.